Melissa in the Morning chats with career strategist and workplace expert, Julie Baucke. It's Julie on the Job, now on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
A recent Wall Street Journal article highlighted individuals who retired but then started their own businesses here in America. And of course, I want to know what Julie Baucke thinks about all this. She joins us back on the show. Hey, Jules, what do you think? Retirement, but not really? Just start your own business.
Yeah, it's so interesting. The people over, people from 55 to 64, so in that decade, have started, they're up 22% in terms of starting new businesses in the last decade. And so this is, think about COVID wasn't quite 10 years ago, but we did start to see shifts in the job market 10 years ago. And then COVID really accelerated that because it's sort of how we look at work and how we work changed so much. Couple that with or add that to the fact that a lot of people want to keep productive, keep doing something. They just don't want to keep doing either what they were doing or keep doing it how they were doing it. We saw a real exodus, a jump in job market exodus by boomers, by retirement age people at the end of COVID, because I think boomers started to say, or older people started to say, I kind of like this working from home thing, you know, or I like having flexibility and I'm not going back. I'm not necessarily going to get out my lazy boy recliner, but I'm not going back to either what I was doing or how I was doing it. And so, but let's not also forget that there's always a financial component to this.
Sure.
I mean, a lot of people can't retire. And so I never want to ignore that because it sounds like, you know, la-di-da, everyone's just all up there making extra money just for the fun of it. But really it is a real need. But so when you look at a 22%, so people are living longer, they're healthier, they need more money to survive, or they have more things they want to pursue and they need money for it and they're not quite there yet. But then there's also the financial component and the corporate America saying, yeah, we're going to go ahead and hire some younger people, or you're not providing the value that you used to, or any of those things that we call bias and age discrimination. So there's a lot of factors at play here, but we know one thing about the American people, we are resilient.
And I agree.
Yeah. And when you look at the numbers by generation as well, there's something they call the people who do these studies call entrepreneurial intent, which is how many people of each generation want to start a business. Now, they haven't started one, but they want to and they plan to. And the largest number there is the Gen Z. Again, part of that is just from need. But it's interesting. It's all sort of skewing that way in every generation.
So it's also interesting, another thing, Julie, and I don't know how much of this population makes this up as well, but we can't also ignore that there are incredible skills that we just sort of let go after retirement. And so, for example, you know, and he's going to be really mad at me that I use him as an example, but honestly, he should be used to it by now. I do this show, which I don't know if I should send it to you, Julie, because actually, I don't know how I usually share everything with you, but I don't know if I've shared this with you. So I started a second show on WICC.
Oh.
I know, right? I know. Who am I, right? So I co-hosted with a retired police chief. He happens to be one of my best friends, and his name is Gary. And we do this kind of, it's, you know, a little bit of crime, a little bit of journalism mixed together and empowering people. And how do we handle, you know, what feels like a scary world? How do you feel more empowered? It's fun. It's great. But we're taking that model. I promise there's a point. We're taking that model on the road. How do we present it at schools? And it's interesting because we were actually meeting with a school district this week to present in the fall. And the superintendent looked at Gary and said, because she worked with him when he was a chief years ago. She's like, why aren't you retired? I feel like you did well enough. Why are you doing more? You know, and what's funny is he still works. So he works at one of the major universities here in Connecticut. But she said to him point blank, I love that you're still doing stuff, but why aren't you retired? And I kind of had to jump in front of Gary, and I'm like, because he has so much knowledge over 30 plus years of being a cop that it would just be a waste. And like, it just would be a waste. And I think that we're finding that whether it is a cop, you know, my mom worked in healthcare. My father has been a broker and still works. I think that they have such incredible knowledge prior to there ever being computers, prior to there ever being cell phones, AI, social media, all that, that it would just be the biggest waste to not use it in some facet. It may not be the same thing they were doing in corporate America, but it can be used, and it's better in some regard than an AI or a social media or whatever it is that companies are doing right now. Like, I just had to share that because I do think that that's also a reason why you're seeing this success. At least when I was reading this article, you're seeing a success because they know they have value that you're, even if you found it in young talent or with tech, there is still something that I think the older generation can still capitalize on. It just may not be in corporate America. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And so what Gary did was, Gary didn't stay in his old job, but he took, like you said, he took the knowledge that he gained, the wisdom that he clearly has in his experience, and he pivoted with it. In other words, he took it and turned in a slightly different direction. So he's using what he learned in a different way. And there is, we all have those possibilities. Now, if Gary came out of his last job and said, I never want to do that again, or anything close to that again, he could have reinvented himself and done something different. We have a client, a former police captain, who now takes small ponies, like miniature ponies, into children's hospital here to meet with the children.
I love that. And oh my gosh, that's amazing.
About getting miniature horses to climb stairs and get in elevators are hilarious. But so it doesn't have to be what you did before. It could be an extension or a development of an interest that you have that maybe uses some or all of your skills and experience, or maybe none. And I think we do a really bad job of thinking creatively about ourselves. And we get just really locked into nobody else would want me. But when you look at, and sometimes this doesn't have to be, I think sometimes we think this has to be something that, oh my gosh, I'm going to go do another 40-hour slog. No, not necessarily. The journal profiled some people who really do maybe 10 to 15 hours of income-producing work. It's not their primary, but it's a secondary, and it feeds another need that they have. It scratches an itch that maybe wasn't scratched in their previous world. If you absolutely despise what you do and can't wait to never think about it again, you're going to be starting more from scratch. But that's okay, too. And I think it's just a real testament to we're getting there where we don't look at, okay, like whoever said this to Gary, why aren't you retired? And then what? And then what?
Right.
That's the question. Well, then what? Yeah.
I think that that's part of it too, Julie. You hit on a really important note, you know, so love the work that you do, but kind of on your own terms. And maybe it is exactly what you were doing or staying in that lane. Or maybe it's, you know, when you bring up that police captain, maybe something that captain loved was serving the public and making amazing connections, like where the hospitals, for example, trust him for the work that he did for so long. So it was probably easier for him to make that connection and say, hey, I can bring animals into children to see them. And I love that portion of my job was, you know, seeing with the community and connecting with kids and all that. You know, maybe that was something small that was part of his job that he loved. But again, it's doing things he loved on his own terms. But to your point as well, I think we have this horrible look of like, why would you work during your retirement years? But if you're enjoying what you are doing, which, by the way, if I find out from Gary that he wants to bail on beating the badge and start bringing a miniature pony into hospitals, we're going to have a real problem. Gary, you can't do that. You've already committed to doing beating the badge and we're not stopping. So you can't. But to your point, the idea of working in your retirement years, maybe for some that sounds awful, but for a lot of people, if it's something you enjoy, it's kind of like a hobby, or it's kind of like, but it gives you income. So it's sort of the best of both worlds. We're talking to our career strategist, Julie Balke, and a recent article in the Wall Street Journal highlighted five individuals who retired and then started their own businesses in America. And we were talking before about why we're seeing that trend more and more. Julie, if there is somebody listening right now where they either have the mindset of, no, the idea of retirement is I don't want to work at all. Maybe it is sort of a conversation, first of all, to say, okay, well, then what does retirement look like? And a lot of times people realize at first relaxing and catching up on sleep and doing those vacations, that's great. But what do you do for 30 years? Because, you know, people are living longer. And the other side of people who say, I love this idea, but I am fearful. How do I figure out what would be a good business model? How do I figure out if I even have skills that would turn into a profitable, you know, business of sorts? What would you tell them?
The first thing is, you know, it's not uncommon when you start counting down to retirement, start thinking about retirement, that the thought of doing anything other than just decompressing, spending time with grandkids or hobbies or things, you're like, la, 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 don't even talk to me about that. But what happens is the reality is for most people, you get into that space where you go, ah, this is great. You know, this is what I've worked for. But for, I'm going to say many, if not most people, you get to a point where you say, okay, oh, I'm up at 7 or 6 every day. I look online, I read some articles. Now what? And there are those among us who have plenty of hobbies and activities and interests and community things they do that never crosses their mind. I know several of them. But then there's also those people that say, wait a minute. Okay, I'm getting restless. I'm itchy. My brain, I need to keep my brain engaged. I need to do something else. And so if you are listening to us right now and saying, nope, here's what I would do. I would counsel you to say, maybe not right away or not right now. So it's not, you're going to change your mind, maybe, and keep yourself open to that idea. Now, when we start about, I think a lot of times, especially with boomers, when we think about starting businesses, we're thinking about those big things that take up 40 hours a week. I'm saying, let's say you were a teacher or you've always loved a particular subject, or let's say you were in a particular field, but you're incredible with math. Maybe you're a math tutor. Maybe you're a substitute teacher for math classes. I'm not talking about go buy a huge franchise and work your rear end off.
Go rent a building and literally build something from the ground up. Right. Yeah.
No. So don't overwhelm yourself by getting caught up in what everybody else is doing or in what you think self-employment looks like. Self-employment could literally be you are a docent at a museum that is based on a topic that you're passionate about, or you tutor, or you work part-time here, or you volunteer there, or you start a business making baby blankets, or you start a handyman business. I know, we all know that those handyman skills are kind of going by the wayside. So if you're older, maybe you go on TaskRabbit or one of those apps where you can be hired per project to help people with stuff. Maybe you go on a Rover and become a dog walker or a dog sitter. So there's a lot of different ways to go. You just have to get really creative in how you see yourself and also figure out how much money do I need to make in this next phase? Or is this just to keep my brain active? And so, yeah, think, just go online, jump into Claude or one of the AI platforms and just start playing around and say, here's my experience. What sort of side hustles or what sort of part-time roles could I create for myself? I'm amazed, not amazed, but it's like Claude and some of those really, you know, some of those, they're so smart. Mm. I mean, they come up with stuff that I think, I never thought of that. And so don't shy away from figuring out what's next. And your next may be nothing but volunteer work. And that's fine too. But give yourself the space and the time to figure it out. And maybe it's just, you know, a very small side hustle. 57%, I love this stat, 57% of Gen Z who is employed full-time employed Gen Z have a side hustle. Mm-hmm. 57%.
Yep.
So
I believe it.
They have the same tools we do, that mm-hmm. boomers do or Gen X does. So all of this is doable in some ways. It's just mindset.
Yeah, I think that's so true, Julie. And I think that this article, which I'm going to link to your podcast on our website, is worth a read just to even get that perspective from 5 individuals who are highlighted in it and how you can kind of go about it in finding career happiness, even if it is a side hustle, even if it is a 10 hours a week, you know, retirement era job, or it is creating something from the skills that you already bring to the table. I think it's really interesting and just something to think about and a new way to kind of retrain our brains and how we look at retirement, because I think we're finding that we are so on the go, 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 that when retirement hits within, and I don't have the statistics in front of me, but within that first year or two, you know, relationships start to be harder because you're kind of sick of always being with the same person or just kind of the same thing every day. You know, it's very hard to change from go, go, go to just virtually nothing. So just kind of reworking our brain a little bit and understanding that and how exactly do we go about it. So I love this conversation. And Julie Baucke, anytime I get to chat with you, it's a joy. Thank you so much. And again, for people who want to read that article we're referencing, I'm going to link it to our website, voiceofct.com.